Okay, let's have a look. Last week, Mark kicked off a series of talks that led us, that in fact will lead us up to Christmas or just before Christmas, entitled Gateway and Me, Belonging, Believing, Behaving, which is a core part of Gateway's philosophy on what the church is and how it is to function. Yeah, how it functions. Last week we heard that an important part of Jesus' mission was to establish and build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Not a series of buildings or assets. It's okay. not a series of buildings or assets or investments as many, perhaps, outside the church view the church today, but rather a congregation of people bound by the belief that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, receiving the truth about him for oneself, that we can know forgiveness from God for our previous rejection of him, okay? So that's what binds the church together. The establishment of the church, this group of people with commonality found only in their acceptance of Jesus. That's the core part, one of the core parts of Jesus' mission. Jesus was not interested in building a portfolio of assets, church buildings, as useful as they are, and they are useful. For us who are on the setup team, I have to say, it would be a good thing if we had our own building that was all set up nicely with all the chairs put out and all the amplification system sorted, and we didn't have to sort out buzzes all the time. And yeah, wouldn't it be great? Because buildings do come in handy. But in Gateway, we have intentionally steered away from this, despite the obvious advantages, because we believe that this is not the most important thing that Jesus has for us to do. To acquire a building and develop that building. And that's not to say that we won't acquire one in the future, because we may well do it, and I hope we do on one hand, and I hope we don't on another. But that's not what Jesus' intention was. He was not and is not concerned with places. He's concerned with people. So we're fortunate today, aren't we, that we fall right into that category. Yeah, doesn't matter what we look like, rich or poor. He's concerned about us. In fact, he's concerned about you. He points this out very, very early on in his ministry, in John chapter 4, which you can flick on to the next slide. And in John's gospel, there's 21 chapters. So this passage appears in John chapter 4. So it is quite early on within Jesus' ministry when Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. You probably know the story very, very well. And towards the end of that conversation, in which he speaks directly into her life in a very prophetic way, towards the end of that conversation, we read this. Believe me, Jesus said, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, you will worship God, neither on this mountain, which is where the Samaritans believed you had to worship God if you're going to do it properly, nor in Jerusalem, which is where the thoroughbred Jews, so to speak, thought that if you were going to worship God, that's where you needed to do it. Yet a time is coming, Jesus said, and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And what he's saying is this: God is not interested in the places that you worship, the fancy buildings that we might have. He's interested in bringing people together who are prepared to acknowledge who he is and to worship him in that context, whether in St. Paul's Cathedral or the Town Community Center, whether in Westminster Abbey or someone's home. It matters not to God. He's only interested in the fact that we get together, and when we do, we acknowledge who he is and what he's done for us, and that those gatherings act to cement our relationships with one another, which subsequently will help us build our faith as we travel on this journey through life. But it even goes further than that, because as part of Jesus' core mission, part of his core mission was to establish this thing that he terms the church, his people, his community, his family, as an expression of his kingdom. So it isn't about merely coming together and singing a few songs, as like we've done tonight, which are all great and all good, but it isn't just about that. It's about identity and identifying ourselves not just with him, but with each other, because we're in this family together, this family that Jesus has started. We may be British and Welsh, or British and English, or British and Scottish, or British and Irish, but overarching all of this, we are part of Jesus' church, his society on earth, which seeks to forward his kingdom principles that are founded and based on love. Society. Social engagement is hard-coded into our psyche. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we need each other, don't we? We need to have human interaction. Very few people can survive without that, because God created us to form social bonds and groups. God created us to express the beauty of his original creation in the way we actually interact with each other and the way that we treat and consider one another. Of course, his original society that he pulled together was corrupted by sin and our desire to do it our way. And then Jesus had to come. Jesus came to correct that and to offer us another opportunity to do it right, even when the rest of society chooses not to do that. And Jesus calls us who want to do that to do it together. Jesus came to build a new way of living together, which he is calling his church, a close-knit family bonded together by love, consideration, friendliness, kindness, gentleness, compassion, passion, and identity. And the list could go on of those attributes that Christ wants to see in and through his church, his people. And in Gateway, we prioritize this. We place strong emphasis on this, the need for us to have strong relationships so that we can encourage one another in our faith, so that we can help one another to live the way that God wants us to live. Hence, why we encourage meeting together so often, as regularly as we can. If you can do more than Sunday, brilliant, join us in the midweek, because there's loads of meetings going on midweek. And if you know you can do a couple of those, then great. It all adds to help us just build ourselves up. Hence, we encourage meeting together as often as we possibly can, not just on a Sunday. And Jesus said that I'm going to build my church against all the odds, and nothing is going to get in the way of it. Nothing is going to stop it. And he calls all of us to be a part. He welcomes everyone, rich, poor, young, old, working class, upper class, doesn't matter to him. One jot, he welcomes and he calls all mankind to be part of this new kingdom, this new community. And all can know forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. And because of that fact, all can belong to this family that Jesus has established. Can I have the next slide, please? In the book of Ephesians, so the letter that Paul wrote to the Christians that were in Ephesus, chapter 2, he says this. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but now you're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Family gives a very strong picture of the society which Jesus is building. Not just neighbors next door, acquaintances which might engage with each other from time to time, but family, real family. This week has been perhaps the first time in my whole life where I refused to contact my mother. She did something at the beginning of the week that I just thought, man alive, Mum, you just put yourself in danger there. And I thought, I can't. I have to show that I'm so upset about this. And it's been the first time she came for lunch today, so it's okay now. But, you know, I wanted to demonstrate something. And it's the first time this week that I hadn't spoken to her all week, in probably all my life. And that was hard, because my mum is my mum, my mum's family. When Jess goes off to London, I'm in contact with Jess all the time. At distance doesn't matter, because we are family. Because we are family. That's very much the expectation, and not the rule, friends. And this is the picture which God just wants to present to us today in terms of his church and this society that he calls. The depth of feeling within these relationships, the interactions, the interrelationships that he wants to expose us to in terms of his church. You know, this just isn't a club, friends. This is a family that God is calling us into, where we are to be supportive and support and encourage and strengthen. And that is the picture which God chooses to use to explain these interrelationships between us. Family life in the raw. That's what Jesus calls us to. With difficult times, with challenging relationships that we can't get away from, that we can't give up on, and we won't walk away from, because we're family. In fact, family isn't the strongest picture, believe it or not, in Scripture that we have, which aims to explain how this community, this church-based community, is to work. Anybody got a sort of a clue of what I'm talking about there? Carol? The body. Yeah, absolutely, the body. Can we have the next slide up? I'm not going to read it. You can read it as I'm talking. And it gives you a gist of what Paul is trying to talk about here. Paul is saying that this church that Christ has established, this family, actually the word family isn't quite strong enough, I don't think, to describe what this society is about that Jesus is creating. Because in the body there's many parts, and all the parts have different functions, and all of them are essential to the working of that body. Yeah? You couldn't blow a ear up to the size of a body and say that's a body. That's what Paul says. It doesn't make sense. It wouldn't be a body. You need to have that multifunctional, multi-dimensional aspect of a body. So many parts, all doing things that are vital for that body to exist. And that's the intensity of the relationship that this society that Jesus is establishing. Yeah, that we only survive if we survive by survive together. Really, really important stuff that we think about. So the picture we get of what Jesus' society is like are families, close-knit, linked families, and the body which each will be supportive and will be supported by each other in order for us to survive in our faith. And that's what Jesus is calling us to belong to. So on our first slide, we had belong, believe, behave. A community of individuals committed to doing life together in a way that God desired it in the first place, centered around love for one another. Jesus said, people will know that you are my disciples, my family, my society, by the fact that you love one another. So when Jesus calls us to come and follow him, which he does to everyone, he is calling us to belong to his family. Many of our modern world would seek to eradicate or erect barriers around national identity, and we've seen that just recently, haven't we, in Scotland, in the Scottish referendum. And I'm not getting political at all on this front. I'm glad that Scotland are still with us. And I said I wouldn't become political, but I just did, sorry. But there's a huge amount of passion around that, isn't it? Jesus, on the other hand, calls us together. And he doesn't want to separate us. He doesn't want to pull us apart. Jesus offers us entry to a community that transcends borders and nations and cultures and status, and offers us an identity based not on a location on a map, but on the contents of our hearts. These relationships are important, and that is why we encourage you to get involved in as many church activities as possible. Not that you can get more credits, yeah, or gold stars for your huge attendance, but that we can fill our part, that you can fill your part in this society that Jesus has called us to, this family that Jesus has asked us to be a part of, so that that family can grow strong. How many of us want to live in a world that is full of peace and respect and love? Isn't that, that's ideal, isn't it? And you might say, a bit idealistic, but actually it's the society that Jesus calls us to. It's the society that Jesus wants. That's the society which he asks us to belong to, a society where we're all important and all have a part to play. No wonder Jesus likened this kingdom of his, this family of his, to finding treasure that is beyond price, that is priceless, because that's exactly what it is. That community is based on a belief system which not just holds the principles of Jesus up as its values base, but it also holds Jesus himself up as the core part of that community. Unfortunately, friends, being human doesn't give us automatic entry to that family. Neither does being British, funny enough. And neither does, and you might find this really difficult to believe because you know that Wales is God's country after all, but neither does being Welsh. Neither does being Welsh give us automatic entry to God's family. Nationality has absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, our behaviors have nothing to do with it, which might seem a little bizarre, because it would seem that the society that Jesus is advocating is a society in which our good behaviors actually signal our membership, yeah? Didn't Jesus say, by this, people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another? And that isn't referring to us telling each other that we love each other all the time. It's actually showing each other that we care and we love each other. And that's doing, isn't it? That's about doing. So how does being a part of this family have nothing to do with what we do or what we don't do? Well, if it was dependent on our behavior would need to be perfect all the time, because Jesus' kingdom is a perfect kingdom. It is a perfect kingdom. If access was determined by behavior, then the access requirement would be perfection. I think I'm pretty close, I've got to say, but Kath thinks very, very differently. And I think if my heart looks closely enough at myself, I would agree with her. The only human to meet that standard was Jesus himself, who was faultless, who was sinless. So if good behavior doesn't get us in to this family, what does? Well, the Apostle John says in John chapter 1, he makes this statement. He's talking about Jesus, and he says, he, that's Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, guess what? Children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor human decision, nor husband's will, but born of God. Here's the secret. Entry to God's family is so, so simple. And perhaps the simplicity is our biggest challenge. I don't know. It's about believing and receiving Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus, who he was, what he did, gives us access. How? You see, when sin entered this world, it entered through a heart that said, I don't want God to reign over me. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I don't need God. I don't want God. And from that point, the perfect relationship between God and man, which once existed, was broken, and all the misdeeds of the flesh soon followed as mankind chose their own ways, not God's. Society soon degenerated, and God's society became not a thing of the past, but a hope for the future. Because God's way of resolving this was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world in human form to show the way, to demonstrate what God's life actually looks like, a sinless life. Jesus came to die a sacrificial death. He paid the price that God's justice demands for our rejection of God, so we can be forgiven of our sin, because he bore the punishment for that sin on the cross. Then to those who want him, to those who choose him, he gives the right to become his children, children of God. Access to God's family, his household, his kingdom, comes through our faith in Jesus. And at that point of saying yes to him, God gives us Jesus' goodness in place of our own sinfulness. Hence, we can live in his perfect society because we're identified as children of his. So we have a right to be part of his family. So we have a right, a God-given right, to be a part and to say that we belong, as we've mentioned right at the beginning. And I would really encourage you not to let the simplicity of the good news about Jesus prevent you from simply accepting it for yourselves. I think that's really, really important. I'm going to be another 2 minutes, and then I'm going to be finishing. So thus far, we've covered two of the three foundational pillars of Gateway's philosophy. Firstly, that we belong to something that's bigger than the individual. We belong to the family of God, the society that Jesus has established, which is governed by love. We belong to that, and we invite anyone to come and belong to that society also, that family also, that Jesus has established and will finish and complete. Secondly, that access to this eternal family is so simple. God wants us to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, and believe on him, and that makes us his children, and it places us within his family. So we are called to believe, well, to belong and to believe. And there's a third dynamic in this new life which comes about as a result of us receiving the Holy Spirit. And at the time that we choose to trust in Jesus, and we've termed it behavior. So we've got belong, believe, behave. Yeah. Because of we've termed it behavior because of the Holy Spirit's influence on our lives. It brings about change in our characters, which will ultimately affect behavior. It'll ultimately affect what we do. But the term behavior, if I'm honest, is a little unfortunate, I think, because it conjures up this false idea that because there are expectations on our behavior while we're in this family, that it's those behaviors which actually give us access to this community in the first place, and that is incorrect. And somehow we wrongly twist the truth, suggesting that access to God's family is a consequence of our good behavior and our ability to follow a list of rules, which is absolutely not the case. But I can understand where the misunderstanding comes from. Perhaps a better way of looking at this topic of behavior is to talk about the idea of character development. You see, God isn't really interested in what we do, although he is interested in what we do. But he's more interested in who we are and what we are. He's more interested in changing our characters so that they more closely reflect that of Jesus himself. What happens when our characters are changed is that consequently our behaviors are impacted. Yeah, someone who truly loves his neighbor isn't going to chase after his neighbor's wife or be envious of their possessions. Often we get it the wrong way around and think that the tail, good deeds, wags the dog, our characters, and not the other way around. I hope I've made that clear tonight. That's why Jesus described the religious leaders of his day, those people who were seemingly doing everything that was right, as whitewashed graves. Horrible term, really. Their deeds made them look all clean on the outside, but their hearts, their characters were black on the inside. Good works is what we were created for. Don't get me wrong, but not at the expense of good character. Not at the expense of good character. It's a difference between compliance and embodiment. Perhaps you could put the last slide up. The reason we use the word behaving, if I'm quite honest with you, is that it starts with the letter B. And it nicely fits into belonging and believing. And almost fits what being a member of God's family is all about. But it's not absolutely bang on, yeah, because Jesus is not interested in changing what we do necessarily. Although it is important to him, he's interested in changing our characters. He's interested in changing us from the inside out, the way that we think. He wants to change the way that we view the world and the way that we view each other. He wants us to have a character change that's centered on love for one another, because that is that will impact what we do and how we interact with each other. What good is it if God's family is full of a load of robots who just follow rules which they don't particularly like doing, disagree with, and find burdensome? Jesus' family is not like that. It's not about following rules. It's about integrity. And that integrity only comes from hearts that are changed, really changed. This verse says here, this is a promise of God to the people of Israel, and not just to them, but to us as well. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. It's about embodiment as opposed to compliance as such, which I suppose when you're looking from the outside into the church, you just see these rules, and Jesus isn't interested in rules. He's interested in the heart. He's interested in the heart. This kingdom that we are invited to be a part of is like a treasure. It really is like a treasure. I can't think of anything. You know, if I'm dreaming, then I'm going to be dreaming about this utopic view of society where society just gets on with each other. When I look around the world, there's so much conflict, and yet Jesus would have his church influence that. And Jesus would have his church fight against that. Buck the trend, not just the global conflicts, but in our small communities, in our small villages. He wants us together to shine the light. He wants us to belong to this family of his that is centered on love, that is centered on caring for one another and for our communities. And that's what he invites us to belong to. And we can do that. We can do that by believing in Christ. So if you've never been a part of this family and you're interested, then you can talk to one of us after. Or you can just pray a simple prayer, recognizing who Jesus is and asking God for his loving forgiveness and asking him to make you a child of his, and he will. He will. And it may be that you're in the church, but you're not as active as you want to be, or you think you could be. Then there's some work for you to do. There's loads of work for you to do, in fact. There's loads of stuff for you to get on with. So, hey, two fronts. Let's pray. Lord, I understand what you meant, Father, when you likened your kingdom to somebody finding treasure in a field. And they dug it up, and then they covered it over again, and then they went away and sold everything they had in order to acquire that field so that they could have and own that treasure, Lord. And I see that your kingdom is just like that, Lord. How beautiful it is. And I pray, Father, that a vision of your kingdom, of your family, Lord, would just fill our hearts, Lord, and would fill our minds over this week ahead, Lord. And it may be that we are not in that family right now, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would iron out any of the questions that those individuals might have so that they might become part. And Lord, for those who are in it and are not sure that they're fully doing what they think they should be doing, Lord, I just pray for strength and for courage, Lord, to stand up and do the things that you would have us all do, Father. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Okay, guys, sorry, I went on a bit there. I was 30 minutes and I thought I was going to be 25. We're going to sing a couple of songs now. But can I encourage you that if there's any questions that you have in connection with what has been said tonight, then feel free to come and speak to me afterwards. Okay.
Thank you, Pete. Just amazing picture there of God inviting us to be a part of his family, to just come in. And as Pete said, it's nothing to do with our behavior. It's nothing to do with our nationality. It's just in response to his love. And you know, the Bible says that greater love hath no man than he gave his life for someone else. And the greatest picture of love in the Bible is of Jesus giving his life for us. And we're going to sing now a beautiful song. It's called At the Cross. And as we sing it, what I'm going to suggest is for the first two verses, just let the girls sing this song. Just focus on the words. And let the words just speak to you as you sit there. And then what I'll suggest is we go into the chorus after the first two verses. When you're ready, and I think we'll just make this for you to decide when you're ready, we're going to then sing At the Cross I Bow My Knee. I just want you to be ready to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting today. If you want to stay seated and just sing the song or listen to the song and respond in your heart, please feel free to do that. If you want to stand and sing, please feel free to do that. But these are beautiful words, and let's just respond to God and what he's done for us.